Today we see how Jesus speaks about St. John the Baptist. He is the new Elijah. Elijah had to come first to do precisely what the book of Sirach said that he would do, to turn the hearts of fathers toward their children, to prepare a way for the Lord. But he would do it in a characteristic way. Throughout this first reading, what do we see? We see fire. In those days, like a fire, there appeared the prophet Elijah. His words were like a flaming furnace. He was taken aloft in a whirlwind of fire, in a chariot of fiery horses. He had come to bring fire. Precisely that fire of a purging love for the Lord. And that's the best way to understand what John the Baptist did. It wasn't just the cold leveling of mountains and the filling up of valleys and making crooked ways straight and rough ways smooth. John the Baptist had come ultimately to reignite in us a fire of love for God. Not just a begrudging acknowledgement of his existence, but a real passion, which is the only adequate way to respond to the unbelievably fiery love of the Lord. When Jesus himself would eventually arrive, what would he say? I have come to light the earth on fire, and how I am in agony until it is enkindled. The whole purpose of Advent is precisely for us to be lit on fire for our faith. Pope Francis, in his apostolic exhortation, Evangelii Gaudium, said that the only way we're really going to be able to pass on the Word of God to others is not in a clinical way, not in an intellectually academic way. The way we're going to do it is with words of fire that flow from hearts on fire. That's what this is all about. So today it's a day in which we can ask, am I ready to be ignited? Would somebody else say, I'm absolutely on fire with the love of the Lord reigning within me, that it's basically burning up the dross of all my sins, burning up my impurities? Is that what this is about? Pope Benedict, back in 2010, gave a really beautiful homily, which he talked on Pentecost about the fire of the Holy Spirit. He says, that fire, that is the Spirit, burns like the burning bush. It burns, but it doesn't consume. In fact, it burns not to change our substance and leave us dead. It burns precisely to help us to become fully alive. But he said a lot of us are afraid of the fire. We know that if we draw closer to the fire, we will get burned. And he says so many of us are moved by a logic of possessing rather than self-giving, that we know the closer we get to Jesus, the more he's going to want to change us from our logic of having to a logic of imitating his own self-gift. So we hold back from the fire. We maintain our distance in the cold so that the Lord doesn't ask us to sacrifice things that have become our small g gods. Advent, when we're leveling the mountains, filling up the valleys, straightening out the crooked ways, smoothing the rough ways, it's about changing the way we relate to God, the way we relate to others, the way we relate to our stuff, so that our stuff doesn't possess us, but we, in fact, not only possess it as stewards, but use it for the glory of God's kingdom. Today we celebrate the feast of St. John of the Cross, one of the greatest saints who has ever lived. And for him, when he taught about prayer, it was all about fire. Even though his writings are incredibly clear about the geography of the interior life, what he was always setting up was this path of fire. He wrote four main books. First book was The Ascent of Mount Carmel, in which he described the entire Christian life as a pilgrimage uphill. He was a Carmelite. That's not an easy journey. Second was The Dark Night of the Soul, that there comes to be a point where even though we know the flame is there, we can't see it, we can't feel its warmth, and it leads us to grow in faith, because we still recognize it's there even though sensorially we can't perceive it. Third, which is how we're going to finish today, he wrote The Living Flame of Love, talking about the way God is in us and trying to change us to become a living flame of love, an ignited torch in the middle of the world. And then the fourth was a spiritual canticle, where he exclaimed like crazy about the joy of living that life according to that Spirit, living that life of God. The only way he could describe the interior life was through poetry, because he recognized that prose wasn't enough. He couldn't write about the stages in which God tries to lead us on that interior ascent of Mount Carmel just with prosaic, almost scientific language. It doesn't do justice to the love that inspires the whole thing. And so he did it in poetry. And still to this day, more than 400 years later, his poems are the most beautiful pieces of Spanish literature, because they were suffused not just with human talent, but suffused with the love of God that he was trying to communicate to others. That great love. We finish by meditating on his words about how each of us, like Elijah, like John the Baptist, like John of the Cross, like Jesus, are supposed to become living flames of love as we prepare to receive Christ within, who in an ancient source said, "Whoever draws near me draws near the fire." As we get ready to consume God on fire with the love for us, let us let St. John tell us what's supposed to happen within us. O living flame of love that tenderly wounds my soul in its deepest center, since now you are not oppressive, now consummate, if it be your will. Tear through the veil of this sweet encounter. O sweet cautery, O delightful wound, O gentle hand, O delicate touch that tastes of eternal life and pays every debt. In killing, you changed death to life. O lamps of fire, in whose splendors the deep caverns of feeling, once obscure and blind, now give forth so rarely, so exquisitely, both warmth and light to their beloved. How gently and lovingly you wake in my heart, where in secret you dwell alone, and in your sweet breathing, filled with good and glory, how tenderly you swell my heart with love. A living flame of love, Jesus, swell our hearts with love and make them more and more like thine. St. John of the Cross, pray for us.